Joe Cortez here with Faber Friend Boxing Talk Show with my sidekick here, John Zimmel. First of all, John Zimmel, I want to wish you a very happy birthday.
Thank you,
John. A good 27. You must be feeling like a champ.
I do. I feel good, man.
You feel good,
yeah.
Eh? That's what I like to hear, brother. Good, good, good. Well, heavyweight championship fight coming up this weekend.
Yes, sir.
Anthony Joshua, once again, in there with a fighter who's kind of mediocre fighter compared to what's really out there, because he had a fight with Kabrut Peluv.
Yeah.
And he withdrew because of some injury.
Yeah, he had a pec strain or something. It was, yeah, Joshua isn't sure if it's legitimate. He's calling him scared and all this stuff.
But I don't know.
At least it wasn't another drug suspension.
Yeah.
I can't keep reading about those.
I mean, it's a shame. We're talking about these fights. We talk about in previous weeks the fights, up-and-coming fights, and it seems like every other week they switch them on us.
We got to wait till the final week to do the previews.
Hey, you know, I've seen fights canceled the same day. Are you kidding me?
I believe it, man.
I mean, I was watching something the other day on the YouTube thing where they were talking about this guy, Haseem Rahman Jr.
Yeah.
Where his son, actually, Haseem Rahman, his father was a heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah, I remember.
I remember refereeing him against Lennox Lewis.
Really?
Yeah, the first fight, Rahman knocked out Lennox Lewis.
Yeah.
Then the rematch, it was the other way around. You know, I counted out Rahman, I think it was in two rounds. But the heavyweight championship now is really kind of crazy because... here we are with
There's a 12-day notice this guy 12 got.
12-day notice.
You got Carlos Takam. He's given up 8 years. He's given up 4.5 inches, and he gets a 12-day notice.
And, you know, and he's, I mean, 36 years old. He has a pretty decent record. 35-3-1.
He had a good career, but he's not on the same level as Anthony Joshua.
Good career against who? I never even heard of the guy.
I never heard of him either. I can't tell you one fight.
I think the only place that they know him is in his hometown.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah.
You know?
He's big in the Cameroonian community. Probably,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
But Anthony Joshua's, I mean, he's a monster out there. I mean, he's the IBF, WBA, and IBO champion.
Yeah, but you know what, John? In order for these fighters to really stay on the top, they got to fight top competition.
No, I know, and that's what's been a bummer lately.
I mean, they got to fight top opposition. I mean, they can't just go in there and fight these palookas out there.
No, I mean, that's what one thing Joshua was saying when Pulev. First, had to withdraw. He wanted to fight Dillian Whyte again because Dillian Whyte and him had a battle.
Yeah, it was a good fight, but he beat him once already. It was a good fight for the crowd, but do they really want to see that fight again? Ugh. I think it's a shop, you know, started looking here in the States. Maybe we could get somebody here.
Well, we got somebody here. We got the WBO champion here.
Well, we got Dante Wilder, who would be a great opponent. That would be the fight to have for the Anthony Joshua, but in boxing, you know, the fans want to see a real fight. I mean, when Tyson was fighting, he was fighting
all the best heavyweights. Yeah.
They were all out there, and the fans were really all excited about watching these great fights.
No, absolutely, man.
But I mean, that's why some of the fans are kind of withdrawn from the game, because they say, you know, there's nobody with big name people out there, especially in the heavyweight division.
And the bummer is, even when there is, it's hard to get them to fight each other. You know what I mean? Even with this, there's already Wilder-Joshua contract negotiation disputes, and the fight hasn't even... They both have another fight coming up before that.
Yeah.
And there's already Hearn, Joshua's promoter, is already saying there's no way Wilder gets a 50%, you know, 50-50 split. I mean, which he probably doesn't deserve.
Right.
But, you know, Joshua's a bigger draw. But still, it's like we're already having that issue. I mean, this is the two best heavyweights in the world. You got 38-0 with 37 knockouts versus 19-0 with 19 knockouts.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, that's the way the heavyweight division is going these days. And until you get guys like another Mike Tyson, I mean, Anthony Joshua would be good if he has a good opposition.
I mean, like, that's the problem. Because really, who knows how good he really is? I mean, he's a freak, man. 6'6". He's just so big and strong and tough.
I want to see him against a good puncher to see. I mean, he was in there.
You want to see his chin?
I mean, Klitschko, you know, put him down.
Klitschko did put him down.
You know?
And he stormed back. That was fun.
He stormed back. But it'd be interesting to see, you know, what he
has.
That
was a good fight, man.
It was. I mean, that's what got the attention of the fans.
Yeah.
You know, the fight that he put up against Klitschko. Because not many guys.
Yeah, that's when people outside of the UK started to take a little more notice.
Yeah, exactly.
And, the guy's good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll hope to see him fighting somebody with, you know, good, much better skills than this Carlos Takam.
Yeah.
The French fighter.
But you know what's crazy? He's still going to make $10 million for this fight.
hey, you know, he made 15 with Klitschko.
Exactly, man. So he's got that fan base in the UK is like,
yeah, well, you know, like
he's their golden boy.
Like Dante Wilder says, you got to come into the United States.
Yeah, that's what Wilder says. To be an international superstar, you got to come here and fight here. Which he's got a point.
Well, he did. You know, he's like Klitschko. Klitschko did it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the big ones.
Yeah, they had to be.
I mean, I can't think of one great that didn't, you know, fight in America.
Yeah, you got to be a superstar. Yeah, you got to fight in America.
And Joshua, he's got the makings of a great.
I remember when I started refereeing back in the 70s and 80s, man, you know, there was hardly any European fighters that were in name recognition.
Really?
Very few, only a handful, maybe two or three guys.
Everybody was American.
Yeah,
huh?
And now.
Oh,
It's not like it's going the other way around.
It's kind of crazy. It's, you know what? In heavyweights, it really is going the other way around, because you take like a guy like Anthony Joshua with his size and his athleticism. Yeah. If he grew up here, I don't know if he'd be a boxer. He'd probably be a football player or a basketball player or something like that. That happens a lot.
But he lucked out because, you know, at this stage of his life, of his career, he's just starting out. He's already, you know, racking up some big
he's
bucks.
Amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you look at like, you look at Deontay Wilder, he grew up here and he was a basketball player and he didn't make it. And then after he didn't make it, then he just goes into boxing and just starts dominating.
Yeah. But I tell you what, I've seen him.
I think that's why we see less Americans.
Yeah. But you know, in boxing, he's a good talker. That Deontay Wilder.
Oh my God, he's funny. I could watch his press conferences.
I think in football, he would have been biting his tongue.
He would have had to, yeah.
He wouldn't be able to do all that talking does in boxing, that's for sure.
No, definitely not. But you're right, though. The international fight, like the fight game internationally, has grown so much. You look at these Thai fighters. You look at these you know, Japanese fighters like Inouye or Rungvisai in Thailand. You look at these you know, obviously Mexican fighters. All these, you know, a lot of Latin American.
Lomachenko and Kovalov.
Oh my God,
and all
yes.
These.
Golovkin from Kazakhstan. Like, who ever heard of Kazakhstan?
Now, all these fighters are taking over.
It's crazy. You it's know? Fun, though. It's more fun when the game's more international.
Yeah, and you talk about pound for pound in boxing, you know, Golovkin seems to be like the guy on top right now.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I would. That's for who I would put up there.
Yeah, yeah, because there's not many fighters out there that can pit against him.
Yeah,
I mean,
would you put Terence Crawford or Lomachenko number two?
Well, I think, you know, that's a toss up there. You know, I want to see their next performance.
Yeah,
and then I can tell you. But I think Lomachenko, he has a good shot against.
He should destroy Rigondeaux. Yeah,
Rigondeaux. Yeah. I don't know if he'll destroy him.
No, I'm saying he should though. He's just got like Rigondeaux has to go up two weight classes. He's 38. I think 38. He's older.
Yeah, he
but
is.
He's a. I mean, Rigondeaux's a monster. He's had a great career. He's been an excellent fighter his whole career. It's just, you know, I mean, he's going up against Vasyl Lomachenko.
Yeah, he's gonna have to up the ante for this one here.
Yeah,
because to him to get up and fight and beat a
at that age
Lomachenko
at a weight class like I don't think he's ever fought at in his whole life.
Yeah, he's gonna have his hands full.
No, for sure. Although if he does it, he's the man. He's like, what a great end to a career. You know what I mean? Not that it'll end. It'll probably rematch.
I just hope that he doesn't get hurt.
Me too, man.
And I think that if it turns out to be a good fight, yeah, a rematch would be a good one.
It could be.
You know, that'll probably be for...
Terence Crawford's a stud, though. I mean, Terence Crawford's done a lot to prove that. I mean, he's on top of his game right now.
You know, you don't find many fighters from Nebraska.
Oh, I know, right?
You hardly heard of Nebraska. I fought for Nebraska in the past, and here you have this kid here, Crawford, who's who's really decent.
He's really good.
He's
man.
Got it all.
Yeah, they call him Bud. The guy's good, man. He's a really good fighter.
Yeah, he's got great style, great stamina, great chin, and
he's really got it all. Exactly. I mean, if he's not top three on anyone's pound for pound, then they need to redo their list starting in the beginning. Because you could make a Lomachenko argument, and you definitely Triple G.
Yeah,
and but then I mean, after that, probably Canelo. If Andre Ward was still fighting, if Andre Ward hadn't retired, I'd probably say
Andre Ward is going to come back.
You think?
I think so. You know what? How many fighters you said you seen that had retired and come back a year or two later?
At 32, I know. You know, yeah, I can
32.
See it.
What happened? He got burnt out a little bit, and he kind of said, "You know, I'm out of here." He's in the comfort zone. He got some good money put away.
If he didn't have his analyst job, I would probably agree with you. But I think he's comfortable.
I hope so. You
me
know
too.
I mean,
you know what? Honestly, I like. As a fight fan, I'd like to see him come back because he's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, he was.
But just as a fan of his, you almost hope that he finds peace and doesn't need, you know, to get back in the ring like he did what he needed to for his career. His career is an interesting one because you and I were talking about it earlier. It's like he's not going to be an all-time great. He's not a guy you go back and talk about in 25 years. But, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer in my mind. He's 32-0. I mean, he was the greatest super heavyweight of his, or I'm sorry, light heavyweight of his time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but also, I mean, he's a good fighter. I mean, he has a great track record, you know.
Absolutely.
The Olympic champion.
No, my goodness.
And undefeated, super middleweight.
Yeah.
Light heavyweight champion. And he had his hands full against Kovalev.
Oh, my God, both times. Those are both great fights.
And they were both controversial endings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the second one with the low blows, first one with the decision.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
It is crazy. You know, then you have Leozardo Cruz and Abdelmadis, who just fought last week, and they look pretty decent.
They both look good. It's funny. They were supposed to fight each other for the rematch, and they ended up both taking different opponents on the same card.
Exactly.
They both looked real good in their fights. So yeah. It's going to make it a lot more fun for that rematch now.
Yeah.
And, should come early next year.
Yeah. Abdelmadis is going to have to polish up a little bit more.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. He looked decent, but his opponent took some punishment, but I just saw him a little slower. I don't know why, but and he's a fine young man. I mean, pleasant guy to be around. He's a good, decent fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And but he had his hands full a little bit against Leo Santa Cruz the first time around, and now that he's fighting Abdelmadis again, Abdelmadis and Leo Santa Cruz are going to be a good one for next year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah. And I think that in the game of boxing these days, I go around to some of the local gyms here, and I see these good young talent.
Oh yeah,
you know, Fernando Vargas is. I take my hat off to him, former super welterweight champion of the world, three-time world champion, and he really has his heart into it. He's into helping these kids. You know, I went to the gym there the other day, saw this young talent, boys and girls, and they had a birthday for one of their kids, and it was just so nice to see all these kids gathered together like that. If you didn't have a gym like that in the northwest side here, northeast side.
Yeah.
Of Las Vegas, which is a little tough neighborhood. I mean,
oh, for sure.
But Fernando is very glad that he could have put it in a nice high-end neighborhood, but he decided he wanted to give it to the kids who needed it the most.
That's awesome.
You know, and I take my hat off to him because he's very dedicated. He's in the gym every day with these kids. He has a couple of good trainers helping him out. And I think that Fernando Vargas, like he says, he wants to have a world champion in the very near future, and the way he's going, I think he's going to have one soon.
Do you saw somebody?
I saw young talent.
Not to name names. You saw some studs down there?
Yeah, some good young talent. As a matter of fact, his son, his youngest son, is a national junior Olympic champion.
Really?
Yeah. So he's a little southpaw. He's good. He got good speed, good combinations. And so, you know, I mean, Fernando Vargas is one of my, how can I say, now that I'm retired, I can say that he's one of my idols. I refereed him several times, but I really admire him as a person.
Yeah.
He's very religious, good family man, seems to have got himself and kept himself in good shape. He was a little on the heavy side a couple of years back, but now he's like down to like 175. He looks deep. He looks good.
Good.
He looks like him fighting
weight. What did
he fight at? He fought a super welterweight.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So he's pretty close, yeah.
He fought Trinidad. When he got in trouble was when he fought Trinidad.
I remember that fight.
Yeah, I think he was a little too young up against a tough Tito Trinidad, who was a hell of a puncher.
My God, yes.
And Trinidad ended up dropping him. But then Vargas dropped Trinidad as well.
Yeah.
But then Trinidad finished him off. But he always tells me, Joe, you know, thanks for being in the ring with me when I was in there refereeing some of his fights, especially when he lost to Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah.
In that 11th round stoppage. I had to stop in the 11th round. And I know when fighters, I had a little too much.
Yeah, you've always been good at that.
Yeah, and I wanted Fernando to come back another day. But boxing is...
That was a good fight.
Yeah, it was. It was a good fight. And I see a lot of boxing gyms around town that have good talent. Young kids, and that's what I like to see, you know.
No, absolutely, man. I mean, it's all about developing, you know, the sport. It starts from the ground up.
Exactly. And not only in Las Vegas. Yeah, you go to California, you go to New York, you go to Chicago, you go to Florida, you go to Puerto Rico, and all the other foreign countries. I mean, I've been around some of these gyms, and I say, wow, they're really dedicated, these young kids, you know.
Yeah.
And they say, if it wasn't for those gyms, these kids probably be on the street committing crimes.
Yeah.
So that's a way out for them to make it in life, You don't necessarily have to be a champion in boxing.
No,
be a champion in life.
It instills discipline in you.
Yes, self-esteem,
yeah,
confidence level. You know, it's all nothing but positive stuff.
Absolutely,
when you get into boxing.
No, I remember I trained as a kid, and I never fought competitively at all, like not even amateur or anything. But the discipline that was instilled in me, you know, from going to the gym every day, the jumping rope, the whole thing, it's just, it's immeasurable.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I can tell you that in boxing, it got me and my brother on the right track. I mean, not that we were in trouble, but
yeah,
we were destined to be in trouble if we didn't get involved with something. We got involved with the Golden Gloves and who was a product of the Boys Club from New York.
Yeah.
And my brother and I came from Spanish Harlem. Mike, they call him Mike Golden Boy back in that era, back in the 60s, early 60s. And there was Sammy Davis, the performer, the singer.
Sammy Davis Jr.?
Sammy Davis was you know, Sammy played Golden Boy on Broadway.
Oh, my God.
So there was a fighter, too, from Art Aragon from California who was also called Golden Boy.
Oh.
Yeah, so my brother was Mike Golden Boy Cortez up in the early 60s up to the late 60s when he retired. He had like 30-some-odd fights, and he was pretty decent. I only had 19 pro fights. But the Boys Club got my brother and I out of, you know, on the right track, winning the Golden Glove Championships.
Absolutely.
And winning the Spanish Golden Gloves, the Eastern Golden Gloves, the National Golden Gloves. So then I turned pro when I was 18.
There you go.
But it definitely kept me on the right track. If it wasn't for boxing, who the hell knows where I'd be today, you know?
Well, yeah, man, it's definitely, boxing's been good to you.
Yeah, yeah, it's been good to me. And I always felt that if we kept on with the sport and kind of keep it going where we can keep the young talent, develop young talent. I want to see young heavyweight talent get developed. I mean, there's not too many heavyweights around there.
No, like we were talking about, it just doesn't make sense for a lot of these guys to, like, financially, a lot of them, they don't see that route.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And they should. I mean, look at how much money Josh was making.
Yeah. Well, I remember that when Mike Tyson was coming up, you know, he was a kid that was always in trouble and whatnot. And his cousin Amato, his trainer back in New Paltz, New York, got him up from the Catskill, got him on the right track, and disciplined him to the point where, you know, he would constantly be disciplining Mike Tyson, telling him, you got to do this, you got to do that. If you want to make it, this. And he was teaching him the style to, you know, to slip those punches and good combinations. Remember Jose Torres, who was Cousy Amato's first, actually, Cousy Amato's first champion was Floyd Patterson.
Really?
And if you look at the style of Floyd Patterson, he had like a little peekaboo style, keep his two gloves by his cheek, and he would bob and weave. And then he had Jose Torres, who was a light heavyweight champion, who was also a silver medalist. And he had Jose Torres became a light heavyweight champion. Same style, peekaboo style, keep his hands, both hands by the cheek, and short combinations inside, to the bottom, to the top. And Tyson followed the same pattern, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a very good, successful.
Cuz was so good for Tyson.
He was. He was a father image. He was a great trainer. Then he had you know, other trainers involved during his career after Cousy Amato passed away. He had Kevin Rooney, he had Teddy Atlas. You know, he had other, you know, several trainers that brought him up along the way. But Mike was a really outstanding fighter when he was in his prime coming up the ranks. I mean, everybody was dying to see Mike Tyson become heavyweight champion because of the power that he had.
He was the youngest heavyweight champion ever, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And prior to him was Floyd Patterson. So Cousy Amato had two of the youngest heavyweight champions in boxing.
That's such a hard division to be a young champion in. I mean, it's one thing to be a young champion in, you know what I mean, in a flyweight or something. But to put on that much muscle and everything and that much size and go up against these grown men, it's got to be insane.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Mike Tyson wasn't that tall. You know, Mike Tyson was like 5'10".
I know.
But, you know, you could put him against King Kong and he'll knock him out.
He's so big.
He'll knock anybody out.
He'll get in there, too. He'll get in there.
I mean, I've been in that ring with him nine occasions. Refereeing his fights, and Mike Tyson really had that speed, the rapid punches. It was so quick, to the body, to the head, bam, 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 boom. I remember giving instructions to Marvis Fraser. My instructions was longer than the fight. The fight only lasted 30 seconds. I mean, Mike Tyson, he was looking at Marvis Fraser. I think he had him out on his feet just by staring him down, down.
His stare downs were epic too. Oh, yeah. You watch him.
Exactly.
They're like his press conferences.
Exactly.
Is he the fastest heavyweight you've ever seen?
Yes, I would say he's. I mean, Muhammad Ali was quick, but as right. far as like punches, like Muhammad, like Tyson, it was kind of tough to say that he was. Tyson was quick, I think.
Really?
Yeah, because he had, you know, good.
Oh my God! Yes, and, I mean, and the power that came with him. Was
yeah,
just,
and they, oh. and it was not just you know, top punches. They were really bang.
Oh my
bang.
God! That's what I mean. And on top of that, his defense is. People don't know, like, you know, how great Tyson was defensively. He was yeah. just an animal in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Until he fought Buster Douglas.
Yeah.
yeah, Buster Douglas.
That'd be like Carlos Takam beating Joshua this weekend. That's basically but you know his what? Puncher's chance.
But you know what? See, Anthony Joshua is an up-and-coming heavyweight. He's a champion, but really, like, a lot of people don't really know
yeah.
Anthony Joshua.
Yeah, he's not Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson's no. the biggest name, second biggest name in boxing yeah, like ever.
Yeah, behind Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
But I bought Rocky Marciano. And you yeah. Joe Louis.
Back no, there's a million. I mean, yeah. I mean, you go all the way back.
But
I mean,
we're talking in most recent years.
You go yeah. back to Jim Jefferies. And,
yeah, yeah. But we're talking about in recent times that now we, there's not many guys that you get with the good name recognition out there. Anthony no. Joshua is starting to get some name recognition. Dante Waller, but not like a Mike Tyson.
No. Mike Tyson was not just famous in boxing. He was famous everywhere. He was the biggest athlete in the world.
Yeah. He was coming along real good.
He's a bright light.
Yeah. And kind of after him, everything kind of died down in the heavyweight division.
Yeah, in heavyweights, yeah. I mean, really, after the Tyson, Lewis, Holyfield, all those guys era, it just turned into Klitschko's.
Exactly.
Beating up nobodies all the time.
Yeah, that's what happened. Klitschko held that title for over 10 years, you know?
Yeah, and Klitschko is, I mean, a great fighter.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, honestly, as boring as that was, I mean, this is what we were talking about earlier with the, you know, we need more big showdowns in the heavyweight division.
Yeah.
Having these two big guys up top now, the Wilder and Joshua, yeah. it's more exciting than the Klitschko era as far as the heavyweight division goes.
Exactly.
So at least we know two names.
Yeah, well, but how long would they last? That's the thing.
I have no idea, man. You know, they're both young.
Yeah, but who's out there, too? And who's out
exactly.
there?
Exactly. I mean, so if they don't just, I mean, if
they take care of themselves, they'll be around for a while.
Yeah.
And I believe if they fight the first time, they're probably going to be a rematch or a rubber match like the fights I referee with Reddick Bowe and Vander Holyfield. Those were epic battles.
Yeah, Wilder's crazy style. If he lands even one really good punch on Joshua, he could knock him down.
Well, Klitschko did.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. And Dillian White landed a big one in the beginning, and it fazed him, but it didn't knock him down. But like Joshua will probably beat Wilder, but it would be so fun to just watch Wilder try and just land that big shot over and over again on someone as skilled as Anthony Joshua. Plus, everyone who always says he hasn't fought anybody, like how many times does he have to try to fight somebody and then that guy get suspended for drug tests? That's the same thing Hearn just said. He said, he hasn't ever fought anybody, so why would I give him a 50% split? And it's like, dude, I've been trying to fight people. I've been trying my hardest.
I don't know if Joshua going to, you say he doesn't want to give him 50%.
Yeah, he doesn't want it. He doesn't want to give him 50%.
Well, you know, I think Dante Waller is a bit of a draw, I think.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, like when you look at the actual like the purses,
yeah.
Deontay Wilder, I think his biggest purse was like $2.5 million, and Josh was making 10 this one. He made 15 the last one. Mm-hmm. His UK crowd brings in so much.
Yes,
it's kind of crazy. But Wilder's more known here for sure, and just fun. I mean, his mouth is fun. The way he talks about everybody, like he's just a funny guy, but they're both huge draws. I think if that fight happened next year, it'd be the biggest fight of the year pay per view wise outside of a Triple G Canelo rematch.
I think they have to get a little bit more exposure.
Yeah, I agree.
So they can get the demand from the crowd.
I can't see any fight that would bring more fans, though, outside of, like I said, Canelo Triple G Remax.
Right.
That would be huge. But outside of that, I think a Joshua Wilder fight would be the biggest pay-per-view draw of 2018.
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be very good. A good fight.
I'm looking forward to it, man. I hope it happens so bad. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, John, I want to wish you again happy birthday.
Thank you.
You know, it was a great show tonight, talking about different topics, but mainly talking about the heavyweight fight coming up this Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be good. I mean, I'm going to watch it.
It's a pay-per-view event, and we'll be watching it, and hope you fans enjoy it. And we'll be talking to you soon, guys. Take care. God bless.
Thank you.
All right, John.
All right, Joe.
Bye. And don't forget, guys, I'm Fair But I'm Firm. Watch the Fair But Firm Boxing Talk Show in the future.